today in the next three Sundays after this, we're going to talk about the church. Why do we gather? Why do we get together and do this? And so today I want to start with this. Why do we gather as the body of Christ? The next 3 weeks we're going to talk about our three kind of main pillars of Crosspoint, that we give hope in Jesus' name, we equip people to live out their God-designed callings, and we create opportunities for people to experience Jesus and experience one another. And so the next 3 weeks we'll talk about those. But today I want to talk to you about why do we gather? Why do we get together, whether here in this building or in someone's home together with people, and we sing and we pray, encourage one another, look at Scripture? Why do we do that? I mean, how many of you are you know, you got busy lives. How many of you have got things you need again, right? But why do we take time out of our day, out of our week, to gather? And why have other believers and saints throughout the centuries have done this, to gather, to get together weekly, to gather and meet? Why do we do that? And today, I had a longer message, more historical detail, all this stuff, and I've shrunk it down to be a little more concise. I felt like the Lord saying, let's to edit some of it and just speak more frank and more just kind of where we're at with why do we need to gather. And so my question for us is, why do we gather? Why do we gather? So I want you to go ahead. What would you say? Just shout it out loud. Why do we gather? What's your thoughts? Communion? Encouraging one? Yep. Gratitude? Yep. Worship? Right, Jesus' command, yep. Anybody else? Yeah, why do we gather? Okay, yeah, you guys are covering it, right. Worship, prayer, Jesus said to, communion, fellowship, to honor, right. So why do we gather? Now, we say this, but sometimes, do you ever fall into this, or you see the other disciples that fall into this category? So why do we gather? Is it just to check the weekly box? Have you ever been there? You go to church because that's just the right thing to do. You just check it off. Or you show up? Or is it to be affirmed? Do some churches believe, or people believe, you go to church to be affirmed in your specific belief and or maybe what's not orthodox in Scripture? Is it socialization? Is it just to get out of the house and get to a good social event with the best coffee in town out there, right? I mean, yeah. I mean, come on. That Folgers coffee is top notch, right? I mean, is it merely just to hang out and check up, see, you know, how's the kids, how's the wife, you know, what's going on, like that? Is it to gain better social status? At times in history, yes, it was. You went to church just to gain a better social status, to make sure you looked like you were doing the right thing. Or why do we gather? Is it to pray, to worship, to grow in our knowledge of the Word, use our spiritual gifts, encourage one another, enjoy good food together, et cetera, et cetera? Or is that the reason why we gather? And why I'm starting this series off, we're starting a brand new year. And as you know, churches fluctuate. But for us specifically, and this is where I want to get more frank with, in Crosspoint, we've seen a lot of fluctuations over the last 3 years of people coming, going. Some people have moved because of jobs. Some have just renounced the name of Jesus and said, I'm done serving this Jesus. I'm good. I'm going to go live my own life. And at sometimes, others are consistent. Sometimes other, we let things get in the way when we've had, you know, some weeks it's a lot of people here. Some weeks there's no one here. And that's okay, right? It's not easy to be here every week. But however, we've seen this trend, even in Sioux City, I've been talking with other pastors where some churches are seeing 30, 40% swings of congregants. And not just in the small churches, churches that are around 500, 700, 800, 1,000 here in the city, in the surrounding 30, 40-mile radius of Sioux City. These massive swings post-COVID. And it's concerning to me and a lot of the pastors. It's not that we have to have numbers. It's concerning is, are we neglecting the gathering to encourage one another? Are we neglecting being together and honoring Christ and using our gifts to encourage and build up the body in Christ? Or are we more committed to sometimes to either a sport event or our jobs or something else where we will never miss those things or not show up for those, but sometimes meeting together, gathering, we take that for granted, or we just go, oh, I'm just going to go every third week, every fourth week, and put my due time in. And so that's what I want to speak to us about today is, why do we gather? And this isn't condemnation, it's not a guilt trip, it's not legalism, it's just if Christ has changed you, you're going to want to be with the ones he's changed and be with the one that he's using his gifts through, his Spirit through. And so turn with me in your scriptures in a minute here. We're going to turn here to Hebrews 10 and Acts 2. We're going to be in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, and Acts 2, 42 through 47 here in a minute. And those will be in your screen here. But I want to remind us about the state of the church in America. Barna Group in 2019, pre-COVID, released a study. They said 3,000 new churches were planted in 2019. By the end of 2019, 4,500 churches closed in America. And that's across the board, whether Assemblies of God, Baptist, Presbyterian, non-denominational affiliated. So what do you guys know? If you can do the math, that's a negative growth, right? It's negative. Then in 2020, they released a study. They did a longitudinal study called the State of the Pastor Study. And it claims that they wanted to address this. Why are churches closing and why has church attendance in America over the last 30 years, 40 years, in my lifetime dropped? And this is what they claim. They went through extensive research, and their synopsis from Barna is that it is the main reason is watered down gospel preaching. They said that the pastors are preaching, hey, you just come get your social status, you know, get a little bit of Jesus, make sure you feel affirmed in whatever you want to do, and you move on. And that there is no really true commitment to one another. There's no true anything of holiness and worship and prayer. It's just come, check it off, and move on. And church, that's pretty staggering. And Barna, if you know Barna Group, they're very renowned and trusted in this. And they were kind of staggered by this too, that what they found and from interviewing pastors and congregants, that it was really just watered down gospel preaching. And so today I want to talk to you about why is it important for us to gather together. Now, many of you across this room, you come and you're here, you've been faithful. Some of us, it's hard. Sometimes our jobs keep us away or sickness. But I want to encourage us, and those that are missing here today, we need to encourage our fellow brothers and sisters to gather together as the church together. And so here's a few verses that we're going to go through and talk to you about. Why do we gather? Turn with me to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And it says this. I'm reading out of the ESV. It says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near." Now, the church is called the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. That is from the Greek word of when the Romans would call out the people of the city out to fix an issue or a problem or something like that. Now, we are the called out ones, right? We have been redeemed. We've crossed over from death to life. And in this verse that Hebrews mentions, not neglecting to meet together, it's not like we have to go necessarily to a specific place. It is gathering together. You can meet in a house. You can meet here. We at this church, we've just chosen to meet here. But many as you know, in the first 250 years of the churches met in homes. They were in homes. That's where they were. It wasn't until about the third century until church buildings became more prominent out of Emperor Domitian. And when he wanted to help kind of, in essence, legalize and uplift Christianity and said, hey, you need to have your own places that are separate from houses. And thus began the more modern practice of us having a separate place to gather. But this isn't wrong. Meeting in homes isn't wrong. But we are called to meet together. We are called out for a specific purpose, to gather with one another. Now, the writer of Hebrews is reminding us that, once again, it doesn't say this. Now, you might be thinking, well, Pastor John, you say I got to meet every Sunday. Hold on now. Listen. It doesn't say, don't neglect yourselves. Make sure you meet every time the church is open. The church is open Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night. You have to be there. Does it say the text say that? It doesn't say that, right? This is not legalism. It is about, is it a habit of you consistently meeting or a habit of you consistently missing and being apart, right? How many of you grew up in church? I remember when it was open Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was there. My dad was a deacon. My mom was involved. Sometimes I was like, I don't want to go to church, right? Sunday nights, I was like, I want to be outside in the summertime playing, riding my dirt bike. I don't want to go to church. However, that wasn't wrong. It's just when the church was meeting, we went. But so once again, this is not about legalism. It's about what is your heart desiring? Is your heart desiring to be with the brethren and the sisters? Or is your heart saying, I'm just going to get enough and just do my own thing? That's what this Hebrews 10 is talking about. Look at Acts chapter 2 here, verses 42 through 47 here. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the number day by day those who were being saved." Man, that's a great passage. How many of you have heard the passage? That's a great passage how the church began. I want to highlight a few things. In Acts 5:42 and Acts 20:20, Romans 16:5, Philemon 1:2, Colossians 4:15, and 1 Corinthians 6:19, it all talks about how the church met in people's homes. And so some of you have been part of, how many of you have ever been a part of a home church or home network? Those are okay. Those are good. How many of you have come to a church that's like this, a self-standing building for, if your life? I have. I haven't never been a part of a home church, but this is where I've grown up, in a church that was a self-standing building. Both are okay. They're not wrong. But we are called to gather. Whether you're going to gather in a home or gather here, we are called to gather and to break bread. Look at this Acts verse. I think this Acts verse talks a lot about why we like community eats and breakfast church. It's to gather, break bread together, have good food, talk about the word of the Lord, encourage one another. Look at it. They were praying with each other, and they were taking care of each other's needs. We have to be together. Why do we gather? It's to take care of one another's needs. Now, what's interesting here is, this is a side note here. One side note. This scripture portion here does not preach and teach. The Bible does not teach socialism, that the government has the right to come in, take everything, and that you don't have the right to own anything or have a bank account or own property. This was the church voluntarily serving one another, selling their property, using their own resources. The Bible is for the free market. The Bible is for individual people to have own money, have your own homes, your property and assets. But what the church shows here is that they were willing to sell those things to benefit one another. But once again, they gathered together, right? How did they know each other had needs? They had to gather together to know the needs of one another. How many of you, maybe you've experienced in your life, when you've been far from the body of Christ, maybe the devil has spoken to you those whispers, man, no one cares about you. No one knows what you're going through. I want to say, that's right. They don't, because you've separated yourself from the body. How would any of us know what's going on if we're not together and we're not meeting together? But here, when the body gathered, look what happened in verse 43. Signs and wonders were being done. They had all things in common. People were being taken care of. Man, church, isn't it, if we would do our due diligence to be together and serve and to use our assets to take care of one another, boy, we could really help alleviate some poverty, alleviate some hardships in the church. Right, we're called to be together and to give of ourselves and give of our resources and time and treasure. But this one right here, this verse right here, it's very clear that the church was gathered together. Look at the next verse, 1 Corinthians here, 14:16. Turn with me there. Why do we gather? It's because each one of you, whether you're a youth here, whether you're a child, whether you're a senior citizen, whether you're middle-aged or just in your young 40s, each of you have something to contribute. I tell Tim and I tell Shar, who helps us see our nursery, our kids are not the future, or not the future church. They are the church now that get to operate in the gifts of the Spirit and bring something to teach us. Look at this verse here, 1 Corinthians 14:16. Paul's writing here about orderly worship. What does it look like when we gather and we worship? Paul says, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. Let all things be done for building up." Why do we gather? It is to build up one another. Am I in the right verse? I see some looks. I see some. Did I copy the wrong verse down? This is good correction. See, why do we gather? It's to correct Pastor Dan. All right, why do we gather? Thanks, Joel. I appreciate that laugh, buddy. It makes me feel better. Did I? 14:20. Yes, thank you. Right there, to the back. Thank you, Ben McGee. Thank you. Correction. 14:26. I apologize, guys. That keystroke just gets you, right? 14:26. What then, brothers? Why do we gather? It's to build each other up. And how can you build each other up if we don't gather? Now, you can build each other up when you meet at home, in a house church, or when we're here. But if we don't gather, how can you build me up? How can I build you up? How can you not correct Pastor Dan if you don't gather? Right? How do you guys understand this verse? This is the beauty of having the family of God. When we neglect one another, when we stay home or when we make excuses, church, you guys know I love you, but I want to encourage you. The church of Jesus has to stop making excuses for getting together. I've seen parents more committed to travel ball than to the local church. I've seen parents more committed to their jobs. They won't miss, Pastor Dan, I haven't taken a day of vacation or missed a job in 45 years. Well, you've been absent for 3 months in the church. Hello? I mean, what does that send to your kids? What does it tell your neighbor that's lost as a goose? That the church, the body, is not important. What is that? Are everybody tracking with me? Now, once again, it's not legalism. You can miss a Sunday. Everybody hear me. Can you miss church? Yes, you can. But the church doesn't leave your soul, right? You can still encourage somebody. I get it. I go on vacations. You get sick. Sometimes you have to take it down Sunday. That's okay, right? Everybody, permission, right? I'm going to give the official permission. You're good. You're good. But don't let that be the habit of neglect and the habit of getting away from meeting together. And some people want to push back. Pastor Dan, I can be on my own. I can read my Bible on my own. Yes, you can. But Scripture is very clear, and I will stand here. You cannot argue the absence of not gathering. I will just destroy any argument on that, period. You can't come against the word on that. We are to gather. Now, it looks different seasons and times. How many of you know that why the Iron Curtain was up in Russia? How many of you know that the Church of God grew in Russia? I would encourage that book I shared a few months ago, The Live Not by Lies by Rod Dreher. He went back over to his parents' home, and he's first-generation American. His parents got out of communist Russia, got over here, and they went back when the Iron Curtain fell, and he went back about 5 years ago, a little later than that, but he went back and interviewed the Pentecostal Baptists and the Pentecostals and said, how did the church survive 60 years of communism, 70 years of communism? You know what they said? Guess where I'm going with this. They met together, underground, in secret pubs, in a store, in the back room, in a little janitor's closet. Maybe 5 of them, 10 of them met. They shared, prayed for one another. Hey, we're going to share a quick scripture now. We got to get out because the KGB are coming. They did that for 60, 70 years. They met together. And guess what? When they went back over there, and Rod in his book, he went and he shared this. The Baptist denomination, it's going huge. The Pentecostal, Assemblies of God denomination in Russia, we thought it was, you know, killed out, you know, people were executed, assassinated. Guess what, church? It's thriving because they met together, even under persecution. And how much more? So can I challenge you? We are free here in this country as of yet. We need to meet. Your grandchildren, your children, your adult children that maybe they don't know Christ, they need to see you meeting, gathering together, and saying, hey, we meet together to encourage. And this verse right here in 1 Corinthians is that you have something to give. And when you don't show up, guess what? You potentially rob someone of a lesson, a revelation, maybe a hymn, or maybe just an encouraging word or something you're going through. God wants to use you, children, youth in here. God wants to use you. So don't show up and be a bump in the log. Remember, I am not the official word or knowledge or the only guy that gets to share stuff. Each of you get to share stuff and build up the church. Look at the next verse here. John 15, 1 through 11. It's a little longer passage, but let's read it here. John 15, 1 through 11. This is Jesus speaking here, and I'm reading out of the ESV. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, or your version might say gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Amen. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Amen. Someone needs to hear that today. God loves you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Now, amen to that, right? We could just stop there. That's enough, right? But now, I want to highlight, you might be thinking, well, Pastor Dan, this verse doesn't say gathering, doesn't say church. You are absolutely correct. But what is a highlight for us? It's a principle. Is that we must abide in Jesus, right? Jesus can't be over here, and you're over here saying, oh, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. Oh, I spend time with Jesus. But Jesus and what he says is over there. Am I everybody tracking with me? Jesus says, you stick with me, or you wither and die, and you get thrown into the fire. It's very clear. It's a very simple passage, but boy, it's a lot of stuff here. Jesus is saying, you have to stick with me. You can't go off on your own and walk for 50 years by yourself and say, I know Jesus, I'm with Jesus, and your life doesn't prove that. Right? Every track with me, right? You can't say, I'm a Christian, I follow Christ's commands, and you never gather and abide with the other little temples. You know that your little temples in here, right? We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. These are a bunch of little temples in here, full of the fire of the Spirit. And Christ wants us to gather. You have to obey his commands. Christ said, if you love me, you obey my commands. All of Scripture are his commands. And he says to gather with one another. You have to abide with one another. How many of you have seen someone get away from gathering? And at first, they miss 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, 2 months, 3 months. And at first, they stop praying. Oh, you know, I don't have time for prayer. I don't have time for Scripture. I don't have time for forgiving my enemies. I don't have time for speaking the truth in love. I don't have time for giving of my time, talents, and treasures. You know, I don't even really believe Jesus anymore. No, I don't even really believe this. No, I don't have time for this. And they keep going and going and going. And what happens? They get all the way over here, and what happens? They're away from Christ. They divorce themselves from Christ. They get all the way down there, and you look at their life, and you're like, that life doesn't bear much fruit for Christ. They don't live out the commands of Scripture, and it's just true. How many of you have seen somebody? I've seen it. I've seen the people in this church over my 10 years. Peace out on Jesus. See ya. Starts with one Sunday. Starts with, oh, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for prayer. I don't have time for Scripture. I don't have time for worship. I'm busy. I'm sick. My kids, sports stuff, work. It gets on and on and on. Now, that's not condemnation. That's just the reality of the world. It's the reality. Scripture talks about that. Paul talks about it multiple times. Remember Demas? Remember Demas in Scripture? What did Paul say? Demas, who loved the world, left the church, and Paul said, good riddance. It's either you belong to Christ and you follow him and you're in him and everything you do lines up for him, with him. Right? Jesus said they're going to know you by your fruit. And church, I want to ask you today, if people looked at your calendar, what would they say is your most important thing? Even if they look at your checkbook, what is the most important thing? And once again, it's not legalism, right? But if you go out to say to people, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the church, yet you're never here, you're never gathering, whether you're in a house church or here, church, it's incongruent. That's an incongruency. It's a hypocrite, right? How many of you would you believe me if I was a pastor? If I said, I love being a pastor, but I never show up, I never bring a word, we don't organize a service, we don't meet and pray. How many of you would believe I'm a good pastor? No, you wouldn't. Would you even say that he really is a pastor? No. Right? We have all people at our jobs, right, that never show up, never do the work, but they claim that they're a part of the company, they're all in. Church, I'm just encourage you, I want to exhort you, be all in. Show up. You have a gift to impart, to give, and to encourage one another. But you've got to show up. You've got to abide in Christ. Abide with the believers. We need to be surrounded by the believers. Each of us individually need to stay connected to Jesus, but we also must stay connected to one another here. It's interesting, when you go back and look at the survey of the church over the last 2,000 years, how has the church survived in 2,000 years? It was by sticking together, being together, right? The church, when it was persecuted, it survived by being together and testifying that the Lord is good and that he is good for all of us, and we're going to stick together and through all this. Many of you know what Scripture says. A cord of one can be what? Easily broken. But a cord or a strand of three can what? Cannot be broken. Right? You get one Christian by themselves, the enemy can get you. But what, you get a whole herd of us together? Oh, man. Right? The lone wolf mentality is not what we do in the church. It looks cool in the, you know, the Western movies and the John Waynes and all that stuff. But in the church, man, we're a pack herd. Man, we're strong together. Man, we are kind of almost like a... if you remember Voltron, our cartoon from the 80s, or they assemble together, or like the Power Rangers for you 90s babies, right? Power Rangers assemble in this massive robot strong. When we together, guess what? The enemy shakes because he knows there's power when the people of God gather together. And we claim the sword of the Spirit, as Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. When we gather together and put on the full armor of God, we are to be feared only because of the King. Not because we're good or we have some special power, but it's because we stand in his power and presence. But church, when we get away from ourselves, what happens? We're easy pickings for the enemy to get us. It's true. You may not like that. You may think it's not biblical, but it's true. We can go through all through Scripture. It's very proven in Scripture. And I'll sit down with anybody who wants to talk about that. But when we get away, what happened to King David? He got away from what he's supposed to do. And guess what happened? Bathsheba, Solomon. What happened? I mean, we can go through all the kings of the Old Testament, church. When they got away from Christ and abided in him and got away from what they were supposed to do, gathering and leading the nation of Israel. Lastly, I won't belong here. 1 John 2:19. 1 John 2:19. This is talking about, John's talking about here about some of the false apostles, false teachers, those that went out from the church and were teaching unorthodox heresy, the word heresy there, things that were not true. John says here, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. What's John saying here and in this context and is that you have to put your money where your mouth is. You can't say, I'm a believer in Jesus, I know Jesus, and go out on your own, walk away, and just keep claiming Jesus. If you're going to claim Jesus, you've got to do the things of Jesus. You've got to do the things of the Scripture. You've got to be together. There's many people that have left the church and said, oh, I was a believer, but now I'm on my own. I would submit humbly, you never knew Christ. You never knew the word of the Bible, because the Bible commands us to gather together, to be together, to encourage one another, to build one another up. Now, yes, we can do that, whether we're at Hy-Vee, at Walmart, in your home, at on the job, out here in the parking lot, but we have to still gather in assembly together to worship, to pray, to encourage, to have a revelation, a tongue, interpretation, prophecy, stuff like that. But John here reminds us that those that went out from them never really knew the truth, never really knew what it meant of the commands of Jesus. And I want to encourage us, before you get out on your own, before you go out and think, I'm good on my own, and I can, you know, there's a lot of people now with online Bibles, the YouVersion Bible app, there's a lot of people. How many of you met these people? I'm good. I can be at my house. I don't need Jesus. Or they've got the YouTube preachers now. Or I mean, I know one person. I mean, they stay at home and they just watch TV preachers. Like, that's great if you're sick. That's great, you know. I mean, live streaming. A lot of churches live stream. But how many of you know? You know what's happened with live streaming in the church? You know what's happened? A lot of people have left and forsake gathering together. There's a lot of churches that I talk to, and one church that's very, very big that I know of. I've talked with one of their pastors. Their live stream, 4,000 or 5,000 views. But you know how many people have left their church now? They've seen 600-700 people leave and watch it online, but they never set foot in the church. They've stopped giving to the church. They've stopped serving, but they're online. And they'll say, oh, I'm online watching. Love my church. I'm watching on YouTube. But they never show up. Church, I submit, that's not the church. That's not gathering as a body. It's okay to watch. Live streaming is not bad. It's good, right? If you're on vacation, you get sick, you know you're at home with a sick kid, watch church online. That's fine. But that shouldn't substitute a healthy diet of gathering together, of praying with one another, seeing your beautiful faces every week. I'd be so sad if I couldn't see you, and you every week. All right? What John's talking about is that they went out and they didn't know that we were called to be together. They didn't know the commands of Christ. And so why do we gather? Why do we gather? Why is it important to gather together? It's these things, to testify to the life-changing power of Jesus. You can't say Jesus changed my life, yet you don't obey his commands. Second of all, it's to obey the commands of Christ. Why do we gather? Because Jesus said, get together, have some food, have some great Casey's pizza, right? Pray for one another, have some kicking music, have some fun kid services, have OCC, have community eats, do outreach, get together. Man, church, we should be the most fun people in the world. We should be lively, full of the Spirit. That doesn't mean we have to have, you know, the best music and the lights. You can tell here, we don't have lights and everything, the band, but there should be a joy. We sing that, the joy of the Lord. We should be so joyful. We get together to worship together. Yes, can you worship on your own? Yes, you can. Say, everybody hear me clear. You can worship in your car, worship in your shower, worship on your drive to work. You can worship wherever. But there's something about corporate worship together as the people of God worshiping. Why do we gather? It's to encourage one another. You know, there's over 30 verses that say, you know, talk about the one another passages. Encourage one another, pray for one another. We have to get together to encourage one another. Yeah, you can do it over texting now. It's great. Text and email, you can call. It's wonderful things. But isn't there something awesome about seeing everybody face-to-face, encouraging, shaking their hands, and, hey, I'm praying for you, Peter. Man, love you. Haven't seen you. Man, glad you're back from New Zealand. Man, we've missed you guys. There's something about the face-to-face encouragement of the body. The next thing is to pray for one another. Man, wasn't it an awesome day when you get to lay hands on people and pray for people around you? How many of you love it when people just get together? I love it when people pray for you. In this building, together, lay hands, they come around you, I'm praying for you, and do that. Church, that is so edifying and encouraging to one another. The next thing is to build up one another towards maturity in Christ. Paul writes about when we gather, we are each using our gifts to mature and build up everybody, to build a body. We are all a body. Some of you are an elbow. Some of you are an eye. Some of you are a feet. Some of you are a knee. Some of you are a hands, an elbow, a head, an ear, whatever that stuff. But we all work together to build us up to Christ, to mature in Christ as the lead, the head over us. So when we gather, we are building other people to be, help them be more mature. And some of you might need a little maturing. Can I say that, right? I do too, right? And we can laugh at that one. That was a bad dad joke. But anyhow, we all need maturing. We're helped to mature one another. Last two, why do we gather? It's to give towards the needs of one another. Once again, that Acts 2 verse. How did they know people had needs? They gathered together and they shared. They said, hey, I'm short on rent. Hey, my kids need shoes. Hey, I need some food. Hey, I need, you know, whatever. When we gather, we get to share the needs of our body together. We get to know what's going on. And I just want to encourage you, church. Some of you are very private, and that's okay. Some of you are super expressive. And always sharing, you got a need. All right? That's great. All right? There's a healthy continuum of all those. But church, I want to encourage you. This is the people you can be vulnerable with. You can share with. You can say, hey, you know what? I'm short on this. I need help with this. You know, I got a leaky roof. Can anybody can help me in the church? Or so forth and so on. This is the chance where you get to be vulnerable and ask for help. And we get to be glad in helping one another here. And I look across this room. Many of you are very eager to help, and you're quick to help. Man, that's great. And that's what we're called to be. And that's why we gather. And then lastly, why do we gather? It's to be the family of God. Scripture uses the word family, sister, and brother. It uses the words grandmothers, grandfathers. It uses mothers and dads. Scripture does not shy away from familiar family terms. There's a demonic force spirit in our nation to strip any language from mother, father, boy, girl, mom, dad, sister, brother, to make it strip it down to the third person, they, them, all this stuff, to make it very, I think it's a demonic force to come against what Scripture, what God designed, male and female, moms and dads, husbands, wives, all this stuff. We are the family of God. And Scripture says that. We are the family. Now, some of you, by raised hands, you probably, how many of you would say you grew up in a healthy family? Just semi-healthy? Okay. How many of you grew up in a crazy family, dysfunctional? Like, you could be on Jerry Springer. Yeah. I mean, kind of for the throwback to the 90s, right? Right? All of us have this continuum of family's experiences. However, we have to be very careful of importing the bad things of family into the family of God. We have to be very careful of that. I've talked to some people in this room that said, man, Pastor Dan, it's hard. When you talk about family, it's hard. All I see is my mom, my dad, my grandfather, my aunt and uncle, right? You know, a mean brother or sister. It's hard to say, here's my sister, here's my brother. I'm there, right? We live in a fallen world. But church, that does not negate the goodness of God. That does not negate what he created. And what he created is that he said, we are the family. And so it is our job to live out what does it mean to be a healthy family according to the Word of God. Not the American associations of psychologists or physicians, not according to the Constitution, not according to the Assemblies of God, not according to, you pick it. We define family what the Word of God says family is. And how does the Word of God define we act as a family? It says that we be quick to listen, slow to speak. We forgive our enemies. We show love. We be quick to honor one another. We treat older women as what? As mothers or sisters, younger guys as brothers in the Lord. And we get to be the family. We get to show to the world what family was supposed to look like, pre the curse. But one day the family will be restored and we'll be with him. And all the issues we have with our families, your moms, your dads, your grandma, grandpas, your kids, your grown kids, your babies, whatever it is, your grandkids, God's going to restore all that stuff. But for right now, we get the job. It's our task to put on the boots, put on the work uniform, and live out what it means to be the family of God. And we do that by gathering, right? You can't be a family and not ever gather and not be together. Some of us are estranged from our family. Some of us, our family lives in multiple places, and it's hard to get together. And then that's okay, right? My brother and my sister-in-law, they live in Florida. I miss them dearly. I wish they were here. And it's hard sometimes to get together as family. But however, even in that, I still take time to call, talk, FaceTime. And I want to encourage us as the family of God. We're here in Siouxland together. We have no excuse not to get together. We have no excuse not to get together, to pray for one another. Get together, you know, even a meal at McDonald's, or get together wherever, in our homes or so forth and so on. But church, I want to encourage us. These are the things of what we need to do when we gather. We testify, we obey, worship, pray, encourage, build up, give, and just be the family of God. I want to encourage you today here. If you don't have a family, I want to tell you the enemy is lying to you. You have a family, but you've got to show up and do your part. Whether you're a dad in this family, a mom, a sister, a brother, an aunt, an uncle, show up and do your part in the family of God. Use the gifts that God has given you to build this body up. Today, there's some people gone today. I know because they're sick. The kids are sick. There's some people gone. They're just gone. Some people are gone because of their work. And I understand that. My mom was a nurse, and a lot of Sundays she had to work in the hospital. Sometimes you have to do that. But how many of us know people that are gone from the church, the body of Christ, the global church, that are in Sioux City right now. I'll raise my hand. I know some that call in the name of Jesus. They don't go to church anymore. They just think it's optional. Or they don't go to a house church. They think it's optional. Church, that's sin. That's disobedience to the Word of God. And I want to encourage you, go out as a family and welcome people to the table. Welcome them back to the table, to the house of the Lord. Whether you meet in a church house, you meet here at Heartland Baptist, Morningside, Elevate, Sunnybrook, Sioux City First, wherever. Invite people back to the church. Invite them back to the table of God, to the family of God. And encourage them. Say, hey, how are you obeying? How are you abiding in Jesus? How are you using your spiritual gift to encourage one another? So that's our thought for the day. My thoughts is about why do we gather? I hope I encourage you that in this new year, I'm going to encourage us to take time to prioritize gathering. Take time to prioritize that. And once again, like I said, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. However, Jesus calls us to the next level. All right, I said it before. God doesn't excuse sin. He forgives it. You can't claim to know Jesus and not obey him and his commandments. Because at the end of the day, he's not going to excuse you or give you a pass. And we talked about it today in class. God is not going to give anyone a pass because of your family. Because of this or that, he's going to say, hey, did you obey me regardless? Did you count the cost and obey me? And that's what I'm going to encourage us in.